This is File 70, Cycle 2. This is Jean McMillan. Today's date is September 27th, 2017, and I am interviewing Paul Bryant at the Camp Sloan YMCA camp. He's going to talk about Camp Sloan, and he's also going to talk about the Housatonic Child Care Center, of which he's president of the board. But first, we'll start with the genealogical information. What is your name?
Paul Bear Bryant.
I'm going to have to ask, where did you get the nickname Bear?
I have the same name as a famous football coach from Alabama.
Okay.
So my high school track coach started calling me Bear. I just got stuck after that.
And when were you born?
July 13th, 1968.
And your birthplace?
Marietta, Georgia.
Your parents' names?
Paul and Rosemary.
And what was your mother's maiden name?
Steinbeck.
And spell that, please.
Steinbeck. S-T-A-I-N-B-A-C-K.
And do you have siblings?
Yes. One.
Brother?
Brother.
William?
Yes.
Okay. And how did you come to this area?
I answered a call for people who were interested in this job.
So, okay.
In the Y vacancy list.
Did you grow up in the YMCA camp tradition?
No, but I started as a college student working at a camp, and I really found that I enjoyed it, and so went back to school, switched my majors. And
that's where it started?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what has been your career path from college to here?
Well, I started as an environmental educator in New Milford, Connecticut, and then moved on to a bricks and mortar YMCA, where I was a youth and camp director, and then I met my wife there. She worked at the camp with me, and then I moved on to a camp director at a place just like Camp Sloan called Camp Hazen.
Camp Hayden?
Hazen. H-A-Z-E-N. And that's in Chester, Connecticut. And then I moved to Detroit, where I was in charge of the camping services portion of the Detroit YMCA. So I had two camps out there, two small camps. And then I came here.
Wonderful. And what year did you come here?
2006.
Did you take over from
John Hibbott?
Yeah. Okay. You made some changes when you came.
Yes.
And what were some of the changes that you made?
We made ourselves easy to do business with by updating our website and having people be able to register online. We also got rid of our year-round programming, which was sinking the camp. And the moment we did that, our bottom line instantly went up hundreds of thousands. And so those are two things that we did that were big. You know, make ourselves easier to do business with, and then make sure that we did away with a program that was really hurting us. So one of the things we looked at was, what do we love to do? What do we do best? And what we do better than anybody else in the world? And what drives our economic engine? And the only place where that Venn diagram intersected was summer camps. So we stopped doing everything else besides that, really.
You still partner with Berkshire School?
Yes.
For their crew?
Yes.
And
yes.
They store their equipment here?
Yes. There's a boathouse on the property that was built for the purpose of storing their stuff and having their crew program here.
And you still do the international program with the counselors?
Yes.
And the children?
Yes. We have kids from all over the world.
All right. Tell me about the benefits of Got Tents.
Well, the nice thing about tents is that tents is real, that's real camping. It's unlike cabins, which is kind of a small version of your house. A tent is truly camping. I mean, that's what we got started in, was tents, long ago, almost 90 years now. And we've stuck with it. And I think it's what makes us unique and different, because not a lot of camps are tent camps anymore.
No, not any longer.
Right. So and we also feel that the tent puts us in a different niche than a cabin. Mm-hmm. There are parents that want the more rustic experience that we offer. And I have a gentleman on my board who sent his kids before he was on the board. He says he chose Camp Sloan because of the tents, because it was a more rustic setting. I believe there's some health aspects to tents that are greater than cabins as well. Mm-hmm. There's not as much chance for people to pass, you know,
contagious diseases.
Yeah, like colds and flus back and forth with tents as there are with cabins. And there's a variety of reasons for that. But, you know, so my feeling is when I left my last job, it was a couple of days before my last day, and my current board chair called me and he said, "Hey, you all set to move out here to Connecticut, back to Connecticut?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "I'm cleaning my last cabin ever today." And he's like, "Well, that's good." And so I was very happy to say that. And when I talk to parents about cabins versus tents, I mean, we really talk about it like it's
the best thing since sliced bread.
Right. It's a plus. It's not a negative the way we look at it.
And you have both a day camp and a sleepover camp.
Yes.
And how do your sessions run? How many weeks?
Well, the day camp is 8 1-week sessions, and then the resident camp is kind of a hybrid. We have 2 1-week sessions, one at the beginning of the summer and one at the end, and then we have 3 2-week sessions in the middle. So it goes 1 week, 2 week, 2 week, 2 week, 1 week.
Okay. Do you have a staff in the summertime?
Yes, we have staff of about 100.
And they're full-time or part-time?
They're seasonal.
They're seasonal
only, yeah.
And then do you have a half-time from like September until May, do you have people on staff?
There's 6 of us year-round.
Okay.
I have an office manager, I have a camp director, assistant camp director, as a caretaker, and a director of the facility, or facilities director. And he's in charge of all the maintenance and upkeep of the place, and then the caretaker helps him. Caretaker lives directly on the property, as a caretaker should.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
As do myself, the camp director, and the assistant camp director. We all live here, too. It's part of our job to live here.
Mm-hmm.
Requirement.
And you have a focus on campus, and I think you gave me the initials ARB. And A stands for?
Accomplishment. A sense of accomplishment. Kids come to camp, we want them to accomplish things that they have never done before. R is for relationships, so we want them to form good relationships, make new and better friends. And then belonging is the B. And belonging is so they feel like they're part of a community that's outside their own community at home. So these are three aspects that the YMCA recently has measured of all youth programs. These are impacts, you know, how our youth programs are impacting kids on these three, and these are three things that really stood out. And with the program that stood out the most, that did the most for children in the ARB categories, was resident camp. It was head and shoulders above all other youth programs the Y was operating. And then the Y has come to all of us and said, "Hey, we want to figure out whatever secret sauce it is you have, put it in a can, and put it up and sprinkle it on all of our other programs and figure out what that's going to be." Some of it's dosage. I mean, we have kids here 24/7 for 2 weeks at a time. But there are other things that we do very well that other programs could be using. And we're right now working with the National YMCA to figure out that and figure out how they can do just what I said, put it in a can and sprinkle it on other programs. Because, you know, all the youth programs, when you look at them for the YMCA, you would think that these are three things that the impact would be very high, and it's not where they want it to be. So they're calling on camp to help them.
Good.
Which we're very happy to do. We're excited about it. So
it's nice to be top of the heap, isn't it?
Well, we're not top of the heap, but we're definitely going to be helping the Y make sure that the programs that they offer other than resident camp are also as impactful or more impactful. So.
Okay. You have a fee schedule and scholarships, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and so that people that want to send their children to camp, their payment can be adjusted.
Yes, there's two ways. We have a tiered. It's actually one system, but there's two parts to the tiered system. There's tiers 1, 2, and 3. Tier 1 is the full price of camp. That's what it costs us to have a child at camp, and that's for everything. And then tier 2 is a subsidized rate. So we go out and raise money to help with that rate. Same as tier 3. Tier 3 is a lower rate, and it's even more subsidized by fundraising. So if people can't afford tier 1, they can choose tier 2, or if they can't afford tier 2, they can choose tier 3. That's all honor system.
Mm-hmm.
And then tier four is the true financial assistance, where you have to send in, you know, some of your financial information, mm-hmm. and some information about your situation, family, things like that. And then we make a determination. It's a sliding fee scale. It's very similar to the free lunch, free milk, programs at the schools. It's a very similar setup to that.
How many scholarships do you give?
Wow. Scholarships, we give away about $180,000 a year. And about 300 children are, at least 300 of the kids that are coming here out of the almost 400 out of the 800 are here on some form of scholarship, either tier four or tier two or three.
So, wonderful.
Yeah, so, you know, so what we tell our parents is that when we ask for donations, is half the kids in your son's tent or daughter's tent were there because of somebody
helping.
Giving some money to camp so we could do that. But yeah, about 50% of the kids are here on some sort of scholarship. And that's gone up. I mean,
that's
it used
wonderful.
To be closer to 30%, 40%, and now it's 50%.
Wonderful.
So, but I mean, you know, tough times. So,
yeah.
Why we don't turn anyone away due to their inability to pay. So, if you can't afford tier one, you can't afford tier two, can't afford tier three, then there's tier four, and then we figure out together what'll work, right? And so we don't ever have to turn kids away. I never want to have to.
No.
And we give away more than we bring in. So,
It's a wonderful experience.
Right.
It's a life changing experience, or it can be.
Well, we're hoping that my board is focusing a lot more laser-like on fundraising in the coming years, and we've just started this past year with more effort there, and we're hoping to raise half this year of what we give out, and eventually we would like to raise it all. So, you know, a Y our size, you know, $1.8 million Y, we feel should be able to raise $180,000, because that's what we're giving away, so we should be able to do.
Now, when you came here, you did something that the board was not too thrilled about when you sold property.
Yes.
Why did you sell the property?
We weren't using it. The property is, as crow flies, maybe 5-10 miles away. But getting to it was a van or a bus ride, and then you had to hike up a trail. And kids are just not into that as they used to be.
No.
And really haven't been for well over a decade or two. My old camp that I got started as a trip leader, and a lot of the trips are gone. They don't do any of the trips, hardly any of the trips that we used to do. And when I worked at Hazen, some of the trips that they used to do are gone. So kids are really not into that mm-hmm. level anymore. If they are, they're going to Knowles or other those things. And so we weren't using it at all. And it was a $940,000 piece of property that was sitting there unused. The neighbors and the developer on each side of us were fighting. There's a developer that's been trying to build up there, so we were getting in the middle of arguments.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't want to do any of that as well. And then the other part, too, is if somebody gets hurt up there, there's no way to get an ambulance up there.
Yeah, and that's a concern.
Right. And so it was basically a non-performing asset. It wasn't doing anything for us. It was, people had memories of it.
Yeah.
I had people on my board that remember when they were kids hiking from camp up to the outpost there and staying up there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they built a tower and they had flashlight and they flashed to camp. It was really kind of a cool thing. But they haven't, since then, they really haven't done that. 60s, 70s. You don't want kids walking on 44 anymore.
No,
you know,
no.
So you'd have to drive them up there.
Yeah.
So it was just a non-performing asset. And we ended up selling it for more than it was worth, we believe. We know it was worth less. And then we bought it, or we sold it at a time when the market wasn't very good. And we still got more than we should have, I think. And I'm very glad about
that's
that.
That's all right.
And I think, I don't know if the LLC that bought it was thinking of us or what, and I don't know what they decided to do with the property, but, we were no longer needing it, we weren't using it, and it was a way for us to get out of a lot of debt.
Good. good.
And at first the board was not crazy about it. I mentioned it in my interview, probably why they chose me as their second choice. they came around to it later when, you know, they found that we were paying, you know, $30,000 in interest on our credit line. Mm-hmm. You know, we just, like I said, that's almost a whole proposition.
Sure.
You know, and I said, so, you know, they came around to it and we were able to sell it, and we've pretty much made most of it back that we paid off. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in addition to getting ourselves out of hock, we put ourselves in a position where we didn't have to have a credit line anymore. And even since then, our little pocket of gold there has gotten bigger enough that we've paid off all of our debts to ourselves. And we've almost got enough more money in the bank to equal what the property was sold for. So the money that we immediately have to give to the bank and the realtor is almost back in the bank again.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So, and we've had, since 2008-09, we've fully funded depreciation, and we've made a surplus, which is something not a lot of camps can say they do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my colleagues say, well, we don't fully fund depreciation. We do. It's a big deal to do that. It's essentially you're saving money. You're putting money in a bank account that, you know, you're paying yourself and you're keeping it, and then, you know, the next year you're fixing things around the camp and doing stuff. And when I first got here, the board asked, I have a board member still on the board that mentions this every once in a while. He said, before the summer would start, we'd say, what do we need to do to get the doors open? Mm-hmm. You know, not what do we want to do,
but what
needs to be done, but what do we have to do to get the doors open to run camp this summer? And that's what they would spend money on.
Sure.
Well, we don't ask that question anymore. He said, and the way he says it is, we ask, what would we like to do this year? What needs to be built? What needs to be added? What needs to be renovated? And, you know, we spend anywhere between $100,000 and $220,000 a year back on the property. And, you know, everything from roofs to the climbing tower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something new has been done every year. As a matter of fact, we have to get a jump on next year's capital stuff. So before we even okay our capital budget, the board has okayed a project that start before the year ends.
Oh, good.
For next year, of renovating the basement of the building next door here, Wallace, which is sorely needing renovation in the basement. Because we do have a few shoulder season groups that come in right before camp and come in right after camp, mm-hmm. that use that as a place to stay. And the basement has gotten to the point where
it needs work.
Yeah, we don't want people in there anymore.
Oh,
so we're going to make it nice.
You had a young lady that became an Olympic champion.
Yes, Tracy Iser. Yes, she was in the Olympics last year as a rower, and she learned to row right here at Camp Sloan.
Now, you did an aside about Denzel Washington. Was that an aside, or was it a true?
Oh, yes, yeah. He got started here on our stage. He the way he tells the story, and I have a book over here somewhere that with the story in it, but he was flunking out of college, and it was spring, and he went into his mom's hair salon, mm-hmm. and a lady there just kept looking at him, and then she said that she had a dream that he was going to go all over the world and speak to millions of people. And so he came to camp here that summer he worked in the creative arts staff. And he said they used to put on shows for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they done a, you know, one of these shows, and probably here in the PAB, right in our building there with the stage and everything. Put on a show, and after the show, one of the staff said to him, man, you're awesome at this. You ought to do this for a living or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And so he went back to Fordham and changed his major to drama, and the rest is history. He got his start, you know, the first serious time somebody took notice and said, you should do this, was right here on the stage here. So, so we're proud of that.
Sure.
And I think he points to that as a good start for him, and we all have stories like that in our lives, you know, where, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, I might be doing.
Yeah.
So, we're very, very proud of the fact that he was here. And Tracy, who was, when I got here, was a camper,
mm-hmm.
And then she was a staff member, and she went off to college, and she walked on, I think, at Cornell. And she was on varsity at Cornell. She graduated Cornell and went, I think, right to the women's Olympic, or the women's, you know, U.S. rowing team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she wasn't on the Olympic team yet, and she worked very hard for many years. And, you know, she had said to somebody, or somebody had said to me, that they talked to her, and they said, oh, yeah, she's very close to getting on the team. Some of the women on the team are going to be moving on. You know, they're you know,
have they aged out?
Or? Yeah, they're just done. You
yeah,
know, not enough. And she's still fairly young, and she was on the world champions. She was the world championship shell in 2015
mm-hmm.
or 2015. Yeah, and they won at the world championships in France. They won the first ever gold for the women in her event, which is the it's a four-person shell, or they, I think they call it four-person coxless. They don't, there's no coxswain. And in the Olympics, I believe they came in fourth place.
So, wonderful.
Yeah, we're really very proud of Tracy, and we're dying to get her back here so she can speak to the kids, because you know, she didn't have rowing in high school. She rowed here. This is where she learned to row. She when she got time to row, it was at Camp Sloan. And then she walked on at college, and you know. So we want to encourage people that, hey, you know, this is a place.
This is a good start.
Yeah, you can start at camp. So, and we're one of the few camps in this area that I know of that has crew.
Yeah.
And I know we're the only Y camp with crew in the state.
You had an awfully good story about sports equipment going to Georgia.
Yes. We are partnering with the YMCA of the Republic of Georgia out there on the Black Sea, just south of Russia. And it's a small country, about the size of South Carolina, and 4.5 million people. And they have four YMCAs, if you include their camp, Camp Orange. And that's who we're partnering with, is their camp. And the gentleman that's the CEO, current CEO, or the current, I think they call him minister or secretary, that's their terminology, but it's the same as being CEO. The current CEO is a former Soviet baseball coach.
Ah.
And he's trying to bring baseball now to Georgia, because that's where he's from. He grew up in the Soviet Union,
mm-hmm.
and now that the Soviet Union is gone, he lives back home in Georgia, and he's trying to bring baseball to Georgia. So they have a tough time getting
equipment.
Stuff. Yeah, because it's not, you know, they don't go down to Dick's and just buy sporting goods, you know. They don't have that. So anytime somebody comes to the quote unquote, you know, civilization or whatever, like we do up here, you're going to civilization, you're going to Torrington, thank you, get me this. Anytime somebody goes out of the country to a place that is going to have sports equipment, that especially baseball, they always say, bring back this, bring back that. And so I said to my colleague, who's the number two person over there, I said, what do you need? Well, you know, I can bring stuff with me. What do you got? Well, we're really looking for baseball equipment. And he said, and he specifically asked for baseballs that are for a pitching machine. And so we got them three or four dozen of those. And I said, oh, it's weird that they want pitching machine balls. It turns out the reason they want pitching machine balls is not because of the pitching machine. It's because pitching machine balls last longer than leather-coated balls. They're rubber, so they're the same size, the same weight, so they use them for practice. But then we asked around. We asked Hotchkiss. They sent me an entire catcher's outfit,
mm-hmm.
Some bats, some uniform stuff that they could use, and a dozen balls. And so I went over with, you know, five dozen balls, baseball bats, catcher's outfit, and a giant bag, and brought it over to Georgia, and they were very happy to get that. And then I sent my camp director over in the middle of the summer for Roots for Reconciliation program, which is run out at Camp Orange. It's a camp program bringing people together for the point of, you know, having more peace in the world.
Mm-hmm. Tolerance.
Yes, yeah. You know, Russians and Georgians, for mm-hmm. a good example, because Russians and Georgians are not very happy with each other.
No.
So it's a good time for that. So I sent her over, and I sent her over with a big old bag full of slightly used and some new baseball gloves, because that's another thing that's really hard to come by. So, you know, anytime we can, we ship stuff over. And I've got two big bags of helmets, and you know, we keep the CVO, the chief volunteer officer, my boss, the president of our board, he's a former school principal, and he still works in schools. He's a terrible person, and he keeps saying he's retired, and I say, you're really bad at that because you keep working.
Yeah.
And so he'll get into school, and now when he gets into school, he goes, oh, I'm going to go talk to the gym teacher and see if they've got any equipment for us.
Equipment.
Yeah.
Oh, but
so,
that's yeah. sharing. That's the
oh,
way it
yeah.
should be.
Yeah, and he's been really big on that. So it's really cool to be working with them. I mean, I'm not a big baseball guy, you know, but...
But it's nice to be able to
right.
give
yes.
to yeah. those less fortunate.
Right, and we're very excited about our relationship that we're building. Next year, they're going to send a couple of staff over.
Ooh.
And two of their staff, male, female, are going to go through staff training here and be here for 3 weeks to see how our camp runs. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to go back with two of our staff. Two of our staff are going to stay there 2 weeks for a couple of programs that they have, and then share what they know from working here all the years, and then they'll come back. So that'll be our first exchange. And then from there, we're hoping to do some like service trips for teenagers and things like that. So,
You've got some future plans.
Oh, we're very excited about this.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And, you know, it's a part of the world a lot of people don't visit.
Or
know about, frankly. You know, ask people to find George on a map, and they're likely to point to where I was born.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, the country of Georgia, like you said, is a tiny little country, but the people are absolutely the friendliest people you'll ever meet. Mm-hmm. And it's a great country to visit, and I think it's going to be overrun with tourists one day because some people are going to figure out how wonderful the place is, and they're going to start flocking to it. But it's a beautiful old country, and you know, lots of churches and UNESCO heritage sites and things like that.
But that's wonderful.
And we're, like I said, we're very excited to be doing something like this, you know, kind of projecting Camp Sloan across the world kind of thing, and having the world come to our door as well and have kids see what that's like. Because I think, you know, I don't know if it was Samuel Clemens that said it, but, you know, travel is... kills things like, you know, hatred and, you know.
Yeah, it's a way of building peace.
Right, exactly. Because, you know, you go to another country, you get another perspective on things.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say, you know, back when you get home, those people, because you've met those people.
Right, they're friends.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And we believe that the international programs like this are key to what we're trying to do. It's definitely part of our mission.
Oh, yes.
We have campers and staff from all over the world. But now, with this extension of Camp Sloan and working with another country, we believe we're doing the world some good by bringing people together so that they can see different perspectives. Mm-hmm. You know, even though that perspective is a Christian country on the other side of the world, but it's a totally different culture.
Yes.
And, you know, it's something that we're very excited about, and we're also working with the YMCA in Bombay. Mm-hmm. We had a staff member from there and a program group from there that came over this year. We had a staff member on our staff from there this summer, and we're hoping to have some more next year. So we're working with India with the YMCA. It's in Mumbai, the Bombay YMCA, and we started to work with the YMCA in Lebanon, but that's kind of, the kibosh has been put on that now because nobody can travel from there.
Yeah.
And we can't travel there, so.
Yeah, so that's going to be on hold for a bit.
Yeah, at least 3 more years. But, So,
yeah.
I think that it's important work that we're doing, and I'm not the only one. We've got lots of other YMCAs that are partnering. My friend up in Keene, New Hampshire at Camp Dakota, he is partnering with the YMCA in Uruguay, and he and his CVO have already taken a visit down there. Mm-hmm. Of course, they did it in the wintertime because it's summer down there.
Oh, sure.
You know, so, lots of us are getting involved. I know that Camp Hazen's been doing some work with Belarus. Frost Valley has been doing work with the YMCA of Kosovo and YMCA of France. And Kosovo is just opening its first camp this year.
And what was the U.S. camp with Kosovo?
Frost Valley YMCA. They're out in... Frost Valley. They're out in Claryville. They're about a couple hours from here.
Okay.
They're just due west in the New York. Is that the Poconos or the Catskills? I can never remember which. But it's out there.
Whatever.
So a lot of us are working with other YMCAs across the world. So.
Good. Is there anything that you'd like to add to this portion before we move on to the child care center?
No, I think that's...
We've covered it?
Yeah.
Good.
I think so.
That's my hope.
We have our 90th anniversary next year.
That's what I was looking for. Okay.
90th anniversary of being on this spot. The camp started in 1910, but it was another spot. Yeah, and it wasn't called Camp Sloan then. It was Camp Mohegan, I think, and then Camp Westchester, or something along those lines, and then it moved here.
Been here since 1928? 28. Okay. Now we'll move on to the Housatonic Child Care Center.
Yes.
How did you get involved with that?
My guys.
Through Quinn.
Well, Kieran actually first. My oldest started there, and I was just very impressed with, you know, the stuff he would come home with, and, you know, he was learning things there that we weren't teaching him yet, mm-hmm. and it was just great to see that. And both boys love the place. I mean, Kieran's now in kindergarten, so he's not going there anymore, but Quinny's still there. I'll be there for a couple more years.
Good.
So I got involved because I thought it was a great organization, and I wanted to be involved locally in some volunteer way. The YMCA actually encourages us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get continuing learning credits,
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah. The
and
CEOs.
One of the ways we can do that is by being on a board. And I was like, I would love to be on a board because it helps me see the other side of the coin I work for a board.
Yeah.
So now I would be on a board. So
yeah.
I'd be like, okay, now I know what the person across the table is feeling like, and I can know what my board feels like when they're dealing with me. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very nice
relationship.
So I was glad to do it, and even if they didn't have the credits, I probably would have asked to join mm-hmm. anyway.
And you're president of this board?
Yes, I became president this past year.
And how many on the board?
We have five right now, and we're hoping to expand.
And what are your term limits?
We don't have term limits that I have to look at the bylaws, but I think it's, they're not, there's terms, but there's no term limit. You can stay on the board for many, many, many years. And that's something that, as a board, we look at. Do we want to continue that process? And a lot of boards do that because they don't feel they can get a lot of people. So they're like, well, we got to keep. But a lot of other boards look at it this way. If you have term limits, then everybody has to work hard to get new people on the board.
Yeah.
So there's two sides to that mm-hmm. coin. And both my board that I'm on with the Child Care Center and my board here at Camp Sloan are going to be looking at that in the coming years. So, it's a perfect timing for me because I'm going to see it from both sides.
But it is a time commitment that a lot of people don't have.
Yeah, you got to make time for it.
Yeah, you do, and you have to be dedicated to it.
Yes.
I can appreciate that. The purpose of your board is what? Fundraising?
No. The purpose of any board for nonprofit charity is, yes, to fund the mission, but it's also to help develop the strategic direction of the organization and to make sure that strategy is carried out and adjusted as time and situations
need.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, funding the mission is kind of job one.
Yeah.
Or making sure that the organization has the resources it needs to do what it needs to do to do its mission. And then secondly, the strategic direction of the organization is very...
And what's the strategic direction right now?
For the Child Care Center, right now we are busy doing board development. Like I said, we're trying to expand our board.
Yes.
And we're looking at our fundraising. So again, we're funding the mission, and mm-hmm. we're working on the strategy.
You gave me four excellent benefits of the Child Care Center. Do you remember what they were?
All, I don't know about four, but okay. I know that it's an important part of this this area, because if we don't have affordable child care in our town, then we don't have young people that are of childbearing age that are going to want to live in our town, and then we won't have, if we don't have them, we don't have the services like landscaping companies and things like that, and
fire
then,
and, the
and then we won't have volunteers either for programs like fire and ambulance, and so therefore our taxes will go up, because if we don't have volunteers to run these volunteer organizations, then we've got
to pay,
then we're going to have to pay people. That's going to have to come out of somebody's pockets. So, I know that it seems like a stretch, but I don't believe it is, that if you don't have quality child care in a region, you won't have the people that can be in the region. You won't have young people that are going to be able to do the things that you want done. Like I said, services, mm-hmm. and volunteer services as well. So it behooves the town to make sure we have this. And it does. I mean, the town of Salisbury does, help us with our mission. They established the building and everything, so that we would.
The land was donated, and they provided the building, so that the money that you raise goes into teacher salary, supplies, and that sort of thing, rather than just quote maintenance.
Right. Exactly.
What do you see as areas of need right now
at the child care center? Mm-hmm. I would say that I wish we could pay higher salaries. I think all teachers from preschool all the way from daycare all the way up to through high school should be getting paid a lot more than we pay them. And
it's a hard job.
Right. And if we're funded from other sources, mm-hmm. if we could probably do more of that. But if it's all on what we get from program fees, then it's harder to pay the higher salary. I think because the higher salaries begets longer serving employees. Yeah. They stay longer.
And better quality.
Right.
Not that I'm dissing the quality you have now.
No. Well, it's the quality comes in the fact that they're there for a long time.
Yeah.
Because if they're there for a long time, they tend to grow in the position.
They do.
And if they're happy with the money and the benefits, they don't tend to think about getting my foot out the door. Where else can I go to make my life better? My life is great here, and that's what we want. So that's one area that I think that we need to be. I would like to see us, look at. But again, I think also just the board developing itself so that it can help further that, and both helping people that can't afford the program.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a ton of people that are coming in the door for that, but we have some. And there are times when we say, well, this is all we can do, and somebody says, well, we can't even do that. And we're we're in a situation where we can't. The child care center's finances are very different than Camp Sloan's, in that we can handle that a little bit. Whereas child care, we're a little bit closer to the bone. We can say, here's what our sliding fee scales allow, but some people still can't afford that. And that's not good. We want to be able to have everybody that wants it or needs it can get it. Mm-hmm. And I think those are important issues that we should be looking at.
And what future plans do you have for the board?
Well, expanding it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Practicing best practices with fundraising,
mm-hmm.
and a strategic plan eventually.
Is there anything that you'd like to add to this section before we close?
No.
We've covered it.
Okay.
All right. Thank
you
so much.
This guy's like a heater.
He's sound asleep.
I know. He's like a furnace. It's so hot.